Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best, numero uno, we like a sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heymans, had enough that you can say when. Until then, we gon' keep killing Brian Pillman. Signs stealing, forearm smashing, Bash Brothers.
Champs are back. It's week five. Mr. Just Right here with me as always, the trick to my mellow, Len Biggs. What's up?
Trick mellow gang, man. It's great, man. Great. Coming off a big Seahawks win last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, defense looked like the steel curtain of lore, you know, last night. I think that's probably going to last. That doesn't seem like that was a product of the Giants at all. It was probably just the Seahawks, I think. So I'm going to take it like that and just go into it with that in the next week, coming out of the bye, just assuming they're going to get about 10 sacks a week, probably.
Yeah, what'd they get, 11 last night?
11 last night, yeah.
No big deal.
Well, they had five coming into the game in 3 weeks, so. Yeah, I don't think it had that much to do with the Giants being pathetic, but. I'll take it. You got to take the stack the W's however you can stack them, buddy.
Heck yeah. Never hurts coming out of the Big Apple with a W, right?
That's right. They own that life. I mean, their numbers are phenomenal. Between that game and the Super Bowl when they crushed Peyton Manning and the Broncos and, all the times they've played the Giants and Jets there. I mean, they've just had a field day at MetLife.
Yeah.
Better there than they are at in Seattle, I think.
Yeah, Witherspoon with a huge game. What, two
sacks?
That
was nice to see. Yeah, that was exciting to see. He looked very impactful last night. So that actually is one thing I took from the game that I'm really looking forward to going forward. The pass rush I don't believe in, but Witherspoon I do believe in. So I'm excited about that play. The way he played the game all around, making tackles, playing aggressively.
It's a year's worth of production from a rookie.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Can't complain about that. We'll get more into the Seahawks later, but joining us tonight, he is the co-host of the Fantasy Funkhouse. He is the commissioner of the greatest fantasy football league on earth, the Dub League. He is Jerry Two Chains, Mr. Chains, I believe we're calling you now. A little more professional, right, Jerry? How you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Also coming off a big Broncos win Sunday, taking down, you know, one of the biggest offensive threats out there in the league, Justin Fields and the Bears. A big comeback game after being down 21-7. Love to see that. It was a great week four. Not so much for me in fantasy, but fun to watch. I'm excited for week five here. A lot of good matchups. It's a tough couple of picks here. A few tight games. I think there'll be some blowouts, but
it'll
be fun regardless.
It is. And word on the street is it pronounced Two-Chan now? Two-Chan? Is that more?
Two-Chans.
Two-Chans.
The correct pronunciation.
We appreciate you coming on. You can check out Jerry and our guest from last week, Maddie, on the Fantasy Funkhouse over the fantasy arm of the living room. They do a good job breaking things down. They'll probably be recording tomorrow night, I imagine, smashing and grabbing and grinding and all kinds of stuff over there. So, Jerry, feel free to add any fantasy insight you have to our picks. But looking ahead here, week five, man, this season is just rolling right along. I tell you what, as a Steelers fan, hearing you guys gloat about your wins, this season cannot go quick enough at this point for me, and we'll get into that here. First week with some byes on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at last week, though, Len, you pulled out the victory, 11-5. Me and Maddie both came in at 10-6. So, Jerry, that's your high water mark here. You're not going to have as many games to pick from because of the bye, but we'll see if you can get that percentage up. We'll have you guys on later in the year to see which one of our guests can pull out the best record on the year. Maddie's the leader in the clubhouse, I believe, right now at 10-6. Yes, he is. So.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yep. Let's see if Jerry can prognosticate just as good as his partner there, Maddie Funkhauser. All right, boys. Week five. Thursday night. This is just a classic Thursday night matchup here. Chicago Bears, as you mentioned, Jerry, fresh off a heartbreaking defeat to the Coes last week. They gave up the big lead there to Russ and the gang, and they're still asking questions there in Chicago. They go to meet our Red Hogs in the nation's capital on Thursday. Jerry, guest goes first. It's your honor. Who gets the win here, the Bears or the Hogs?
This is the Thursday night football we know and love. This is what we've been waiting for. These caliber teams, Bears and Commanders, two terrible teams facing off for what doesn't matter for either of them. We'd love to see that. I'm going to take the Commanders here. Somehow they're 2-2, I believe. But I'm going to have them by a field goal, but it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, Commanders pushed the Eagles, gave the Eagles everything they could handle there, took them into overtime. I don't know if it's confirmed, but I think Ron Rivera had to actually forfeit the Riverboat Ron moniker after deciding not to go for two for the win after the late touchdown. Said his players were pretty gassed after the drive that got down their tire. It would seem to reason that means the defense would also be tired, so you'd think maybe that would be a good opportunity to go for two. You can't have the name Riverboat Ron and not go for two on the road against a team that's one of the best teams in the league and with a chance to win the game, and you have a 50-50 chance from 3 yards away to win the game. You can't do it. I thought that was unbelievable. I was so shocked when he didn't go for two. Sam Howell was really hot right then. He's making some plays and really leading that drive to tie the game. And then they lose in overtime, like you expect if you go into overtime there. So it's just a silly play there. Fields actually had like a perfect passer rating until the late interception. Was playing great. I mean, I think I called that on all the shows last week. We're going to have a big week from Fields. We're going to have a big shootout in that Broncos Bears game. We did. It was completely a game that was surprising, because the team sucked, but they ended up putting on a good show. I'm going to go Commanders here as well. I like how Howell's playing. I'd rather them win. I'm just like sick. I just want the Bears to be eliminated as soon as possible. So I'm just going to go Commanders.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Hogs here, too, at home. They just look like the more competent team. The Bears, you just got to think all the air's out of their tires after blowing that lead against the Broncos. I mean,
is Claypool coming back to the Berg or what, Mike?
He's not coming back to the Berg. He's staying at home, I believe, and I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't think any team's going to want to trade for him.
Yeah, no one's going to trade for him. No one's going to trade for him. He's someone out there saying his role, he doesn't like his role. What role do you expect? You suck. You don't do anything well at all on the field. You haven't done anything at all since your rookie year, like not one single thing to make anybody believe in you at all. I just don't get it. So I just hope, I want him back in the Berg. They need some more weapons in Pittsburgh. I feel like he'd fit right back in there. Tomlin's a second chance guy. Give him another chance.
No, they don't need any more weapons. They don't need Chase Claypool back. There's one thing that team's done right in the last couple of years. It's make that trade. Get a second round pick.
That was a great trade. That was a great trade.
I mean, it'd be nice if they played the guy they took with that second round pick a little bit more at this point, but we'll see. We're all taking the Hogs on Thursday night. Man, looking back at our Thursday night record, it is not – well, last week we all took Green Bay.
And yeah.
That was not a good show.
All else.
So we all failed on that one. So hopefully we all get it right this time, taking the Hogs at home. All right. Jacksonville, Len, big win in London last week.
Yeah.
They're home away from home. Buffalo, huge, huge win against the Dolphins. At home, gave a little taste of their own medicine. Just, man, outclassed them, really.
Yeah.
What was a huge AFC East game.
It's in London as well.
Man, they're staying over there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long trip.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice trip. They got to stay over there for the week, but hitting all the pubs. And
so the Bills are the home team for this
Bills are the home team, but still in London. Jacksonville's been there for 2 weeks now.
So this one will be at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Eastern. United States time.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the Toy Story broadcast on Sunday?
I saw some highlights.
I watched a little bit. It was cool that they could do it. I mean, it's not really for me, obviously, but I thought it looked cool, and it was cool that they could do it that quick of a turnaround. It was really impressive, I thought. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of more impressed by that the Slime Time broadcast.
I'm not impressed by that at all. What? That's nothing. It's just a regular game, and then they, like, superimpose slime on there.
Yeah.
This is, like, turning the whole game into, into cartoon characters.
That worries me a little bit. What about, you didn't watch any of the Manning cast last night. They had, like, a Star Wars-esque, like, battle table where they were able to move guys, like, virtual guys around the table and redesign these plays.
No, I stayed on the main broadcast last night. If there's a game like that where it's the Seahawks or it's a game that's really big, I usually stay on the Buck Aikman broadcast. If it's more of a second tier Monday night game that I don't care about as much, I'll watch more Manning cast. But last night it was pretty much exclusively Buck and Aikman for me.
So, Len, why don't you pick this one? Jags are your team. Are they going to beat the Bills?
Yeah, Jags are my team, and they had a big win last week. They have not played well this year, though, so far. The offense has not really hit. It's got going. Lawrence hasn't gotten going. The Bills have been playing a lot better, but did lose Tre'Davious White to a torn Achilles for the season.
Tough loss.
So that's a huge loss. I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to go Jacksonville. Don't feel great about it, but I'm going to go with that way anyway. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
I'm going to take Buffalo in this one just for pure talent alone, but this feels like a letdown game after the big win in Miami, traveling all the way across the pond, and the Jacksonville Jaguars just sitting there waiting for them. Fat on fish and chips, all that shit. You know, they're used to it. The Bills are going to be jet lagged. I don't know when they went over. They're probably going to go over if they're not there already, or if they're not leaving today.
But yeah, they'll probably get there a little early to get rested up and, you know, get your sea legs under you.
Yeah, Jags are, they're probably staying in some hostel or something over there, right?
Castle.
Yeah. All right. Jerry, who's going to win this game?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills as well. I think they've put it together these past few weeks, starting to look like them old selves, and they'll get the win here. I think it'll be tight, though. I think Jags will put up some points in their home of London.
Did you show KJ any of that Toy Story game Sunday on Jerry? Or
a little bit, yeah. The novelty of it, like, really wore off quick for me.
Yeah,
it was cool.
It was cool looking.
Had it on, so I could at least listen to the game.
Right, it was cool looking, but again, I agree with you. It did wear off quick, and I was like, okay, let's just watch this on a regular broadcast. But it was impressive that they could do it in that short time.
Kudos to them for at least, you know, trying to get the younger fans in.
I mean,
it.
Slinky Dog as the first down chains was pretty funny, I thought.
I like that.
That was pretty cool.
And when he'd back up.
Yeah.
If they got a penalty, he'd back up. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That
was funny. All right, guys, here we go.
Now we're in America.
Now we're back in America. The Houston Texans, fresh off, huge upset.
Yeah.
Against the Steelers.
America's team, they're calling the Texans, I think, aren't they?
Are they?
No.
They're not even Texas' team. They're not even Texas' team, Len. Well,
Texas ain't part of America. They've seceded a bunch of times, haven't they?
Yeah.
They threatened to a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're probably on the verge of it right now, I would say. It's a big state. Big states. There's room for two teams in this state. As a matter of fact, in Houston, I mean, they look good. C.J. Stroud looks legitimate. Defense showed up. Now, I don't know how much water that defense is holding after, you know, just stymieing that putrid offense, if you even want to call it that, from the Steelers. So I don't know how much weight you want to put into the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, though, they were pretty resilient. First drive of the game, they marched down there, got backed up a couple times, persisted, got the touchdown. All phases of the game, they just completely wiped the Steelers off the map. They are going to Atlanta this week. Desmond Ridder did not look great. So they're welcoming in the Texans. I got to take Houston in this one. Len, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I'm a big Stroud boy, and I like how he played against the – I picked the Steelers last week thinking that pass rush would really give Stroud a lot of problems. But it was basically, yeah, non-existent, surprisingly. Stroud is – I mean, you can't – there's nothing bad you can say about Stroud to this point. He's been extremely impressive through 4 weeks, averaging over 300 yards a game. And, you know, the team – surprisingly is a little more talented than I think we thought, because, you know, Collins and Dell, I mean, they have some receiving players there. Pierce is tough. Dalton Schultz, honestly, not that bad. I'm really surprised, but, and the clock has got to start. I think it's ticking on Desmond Ridder. I was a Ridder guy too, but he is just extremely pedestrian as a quarterback. I mean, as pedestrian as you could possibly get. Pitts, it might be time for us to all pull a plug on Kyle Pitts. I mean, this at this point, Jonnu Smith's a better weapon there for them at tight end.
Oh, heaven.
You know, I just don't know. Atlanta just looks bad. I'm going to take Houston as well. Although with a team like this seems like a hiccup game, but I'm going to stay with Houston anyway.
I think it was Jerry on the Funkhouse last week mentioned, and you just alluded to it as well, Len, that CJ Stroud's weapons are better than we thought they were. And you look around, they got playmakers across the field. Pierce finally showed up again. The Steelers' run defense is not that great, so I don't know how much weight you want to put on that, but all around, D'Amico Ryans has the boys playing. A little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
So we're both taking the Texans. What about you, Jerry? Jerry, you're on mute there.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Texans as well. I think Stroud has looked fantastic so far. They're kind of on a little bit of a streak here. They won their last two games. They actually have a really nice schedule coming up here. They have the Saints, then they have a bye week, then Panthers. But I could see them being 4-2 in no time. But I agree, Ridder has looked terrible. Matt Collins was not impressed with him at all. He slapped him trying to high-five him. Did you guys see that?
I missed that.
Matt Collins?
He came over. He was open on so many different plays and missed them just wide open, and he came over, tried to give him a high five on the bench, and Matt Collins just stood up and was like, "No!" and started yelling at him. He's like, "I'll get you next time." He's like, "No, you're not. You won't hit it."
He actually won't get it.
It's problems there in Atlanta. Ridder does look horrible, so I'll take the Texans as well.
That's who Matt Collins plays for this year, huh? The Falcons.
any idea who's behind Ridder? Do you know who's behind Ridder, Jerry? Because I don't.
What's that?
Do you know who's behind Ridder by chance? I don't know who's the backup there.
I'm not sure, no.
Just out of curiosity, I just wondered.
It's Taylor Heinicke, I think.
Oh, you're right, it is. That is who it is. There's just no question at all that Heinicke should be starting games if they actually want to win. Yeah, I mean, Heinicke will actually make them pretty competitive almost immediately if he goes in there, actually, now that I think about it, now that you say that.
Oh. Yeah, we're be done with it. The Ridder experiment's over. You don't got any more time here. Let's not mess around.
Yeah, Heinicke looked decent, right, last year for the Hogs?
I mean, Heinicke's every opportunity he's had, he's played decent for sure.
Well, he had that little playoff run too, didn't he?
Yeah.
We all kind of thought maybe.
Gave Tampa everything they could handle that one year, yeah.
Yeah, real gamer.
Uh-huh.
Bring him in. Well, sunk cost. Rookie second year quarterback.
I mean, you got to give him a chance. I get it. And I hate to give up on him this early too, but there's just nothing. It doesn't seem like he has anything. He hasn't shown any signs that he's going to get better than he's played yet. Like, he can be this good and which is fine as a backup or something, but he hasn't shown any signs that he can be better than what he's been. And that would worry me a little bit if I was Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, what was he, a third round pick?
I think something like that.
I mean, that's keep running Mason Rudolph out there at this point. I mean, come on. You can move on. Not be afraid of it. Atlanta's not that bad of a team overall. Defense, the running game, Bijan looks pretty good.
They got some weapons, yeah.
Yeah, the Pitts thing is confusing, though. I don't know what's up there. Just not using them, not getting open. Man, what a letdown. That's saying the least there.
He was supposed to be, you know, this next groundbreaking tight end. We really haven't. In his rookie year, he looked good.
Yeah,
he just the touchdowns were. since.
He might have killed he might have killed more fantasy teams than anybody the last 3 years. I mean, he's a serial killer. Yeah. Serial he's killer.
Seems destined for the Patriots.
Just rots on your team, and you feel like you have to start him every week because you don't want to miss that blow up, but it never comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry, we've both felt the pain from Kyle Pitts the last couple of years on our fantasy team in Dub League, no doubt. He's he'll ruin your day. He'll 7-8 points, sure, all time, but yeah. You need more than that from him for where you drafted him. I think people are starting to come around on him, though, so we'll see. All right, guys, the LRC Lions are moving right along with a big victory at Lambeau last week, a little bit out of their element, we'll say. I mean, do we need to even talk about this, Jerry? I know it's a sore spot for you.
No.
You messaged me earlier today. Are you going to play Adam Thielen or are you going to play Flea Market Montgomery? Immediately, I said Thielen. You know, Montgomery was coming off a devastating thigh bruise.
Yeah.
Deep, thigh bruise. Late throughout the week, I think he was still limited in the few practices they had. Well, he ends up playing. Rushing 32 times, gaining 100 some yards, and three touchdowns to lead the LRC Lions to victory. They can beat you anyway. They're getting one of their main weapons back, Jameson Williams. Well, we haven't really seen too much of him yet. I think he has one catch, was like a 50-yard touchdown or something like that last year. Coming off suspension, somehow gets off of suspension early after this new rule change. And the LRC Lions play host to Bryce Young and the Panthers. And to be honest with you, nothing about the Panthers' offense inspires confidence. For me at this point, it's just the training wheels are still firmly on. They might have multiple sets of training wheels on. Young just seems, you know, streets behind C.J. Stroud at this point, and the questions are going to come. Did they make the right pick there? I got to take the LRC Lions at home. Jerry, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is one of the easier picks of the week. The Living Room Lions are going to dominate. Panthers are 0-4, going to be 0-5. This isn't the one they're going to hold out on. I think the Lions are going to score, win by multiple scores. Monty might even plod his way to a couple more this week. I mean,
yeah, Monty's a classic plunger, but he's doing a little more than plunging right now, but he'll plunge them in for you.
Yeah.
You got to take the Lions here. The Panthers, the saddest thing about the Panthers is they don't have their own pick. So as of right now, the Bears would have picks 1 and 2. Jeez. Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. both going to the Bears next year is what we're looking at right now. And that is hilarious. Just the overall, just hilarious. And it's very likely that could happen because the Panthers are not good. They don't seem like they're going to win many games this year at all. I think, you know, I think Bryce Young is fine. I'm not worried about him at all at this point. They just have a terrible team. But, you know, like Mike said, the training wheels are on. You're not going to see a ton from him this year as far as what he can do. But I think, you know, in the future, I still have a lot of high hopes for him. Although I liked Stroud better coming into the draft, I still like Stroud better. But I still think Young's going to be a good pro. That team just isn't very good right now. And the Lions... only loss obviously came to my Seahawks in overtime, and that was a shootout, 37-31. So that, you know, that's a tough game there, tough NFC game. I think the Lions are going to be one of the better teams in the NFC this year. I picked Green Bay to win that division, but Green Bay got embarrassed by Detroit at home on Thursday. It makes me really worry about that pick. However, there's a lot of season left, so we don't know. I do like Jameson Williams coming back. Lions win this game pretty easily, I think.
Yeah, Bryce Young with a costly fumble in that game as well. So you want to see him clean up those mistakes. You're just not taking a lot of risks downfield with him. I do have confidence in him moving forward, but I think the size, durability is already coming into question. Yeah,
but, like, who are they going to take shots down the field with this team? You know what I mean?
DJ right now, Shark,
too.
Glenn.
DJ Shark, he'll be out of the league any moment now. Thielen is, you know, a possession veteran. Fine, whatever. I know he torched the Seahawks for 100-plus, but he's not anything you can take a shot down the field with at this point. I don't know. Who else is still there?
Jonathan Mingo.
Shy Smith or something. He's still there. Mingo, maybe in the future. There just isn't a lot of, you know, dangerous weapons on that on that roster. So right now, the Panthers, young, they don't have any. They just don't have anything that people were afraid of on the outside, I would say.
Jerry, how many Carolina Panthers do you currently have on your fantasy roster? Do you have enough?
Thielen, I got Chark, I got Chuba, I got Miles.
John Casey, so my kicker.
All right, so we're all taking the LRC Lions there, and rightfully so. They look legitimate, guys, and they're about to get a big weapon back. And J-Mo, that running game is going. I mean, Montgomery, for some reason, just looks – he looked like a freak. Like, he just – one of those guys, plunger, plotter, whatever you want to call him, just like DeAndre Swift, like, yeah. Shows up in a new uniform. All of a sudden, he looks like one of the best running backs in the league. 32 fucking rushes. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, Jerry, that's – we all miss that one.
It's funny because I did start him in another league, and I still – well, I started him – I had him and Puka – both put up 30 plus. I still lost that game.
Yeah. of course that's how it
went last week. It was one of those weeks, like, there's no way that fantasy gods were letting me win after going 4-0 the week prior. They're like, oh, okay, bring it back down.
Man, no one could have predicted Montgomery doing that, but man, yeah, Lions offense just cooking, and when they're at home, that's when they're really dangerous. That's when Goff really turns it on. So
yeah,
see here. All right, moving on here to a couple surprising teams, I will say. The Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. Classic AFC South rivalry here. The Colts, better than expected. Titans, somehow, you know, better than expected. Still hanging around there. Anthony Richardson had a nice little game last week. Guys, what do you think? Colts at home, Len? You taking them?
I hate both these teams. I'm going to be frank. I don't like either one of these teams. I don't like watching them. I don't like anything about them. Now, the Colts were down big in that game against the Rams. Looked like it was going to be a blowout. They come all the way back, tied up, losing overtime. The Titans just completely embarrassed the Bengals. So, you know, I don't know. Are the Bengals on bye this week, or they have a game? I don't even know. But, there has to be some conversation about Burrow at this point. You have to sit Burrow down till his leg's healthy or something, because he can't be right the way they look right now.
No.
That team looks gross. The Titans, they get a jump pass touchdown from Henry. I mean, everything's going their way when that's happening. Now, every other week, they look like a pile of shit, and then they beat somebody. So who knows what's going to happen this week. Richardson, you know, I thought he'd be worse than this based on how raw he is early. He's played above expectations, I have to say, despite being hurt twice already. I don't know. I'm going to go. Who's at home?
Colts.
I'm going to take the Colts because they're home, I guess, but I don't love this game. I'm going to go Colts, though.
Jerry?
Yeah, this was a tough one for me, too. They're both 2-2. I feel the same way. I'm not crazy about either team, but I'm going to take the Colts just based off of Richardson's performance last week. The Titans do have a good rush defense. I mean, they did smash the Bengals last week. But I think Richardson, you know, he can, with that mobility, he can get loose and open it up a little bit more. I don't know what's going on with Taylor. I believe he's going to be back at practice this week. I don't know that he'll be playing or what that whole deal is, but not even really factoring that in. But, yeah, I'll take the Colts, and I agree. I don't really like either, so it's a tough pick.
I'm going to take the Titans. They're going to run the ball. You guys know that. Yeah, I just think Vrabel will get the best of Richardson, even though they're on the road here. No real reason other than that. I'm not going to get too much into it. Just going to take the Titans because you guys took the Colts. All right, guys. Daniel Jones. Wow.
That's it.
Just
we witnessed the end.
It looked like he wanted it to be the end last night. Unfortunately, they're kind of stuck with him, guys. Now, they might get Saquon Barkley back. But, man, the Seahawks just humbled him last night. Just the body language, not great. Just looks absolutely disgusted. Brian Daboll looks fed up, quite honestly. The offense just is leaving a lot to be desired. They don't really have a primary target on the outside. Kayvon Thibodeau is kind of stacking up some sacks, so they're not a terrible team, I think, if they can get Danny Dimes going, but yeah, it's a big if.
Right, I don't know. Their roster is pretty bad without Saquon. I mean, I watching that game last night, and I was just thinking to myself, like, the best player on the field was Thibodeau on their defense. On the offense, the best player on the field was Wandale Robinson. He had, like, 8 for 40 or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch of slip screens and stuff. They, again, have nobody to challenge you. Like, and listen, Daniel Jones was awful, all full stop. However, he literally had no time to throw the ball against one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL from experience. The Seahawks pass rush stinks. They never get pressure on anybody. And they were in the backfield in his lap instantly. They lost two of their linemen on the one fourth down tush push they tried with Daniel Jones. Their center and guard both left the game with an injury.
Brotherly shove, you mean?
Brotherly shove, yeah. they lost two linemen on that, and their line was already depleted. So Jones had no chance in his defense. However, there's not a lot of defense for him. Waller gives no effort at all. Zero effort. He doesn't care to get the ball at all.
Jerry?
You know who really impressed me in that game was the right tackle for the Seahawks, Jake Kurhan.
Yeah. Yep. I'll tell you what, Jake, we talked about him in the thread a little bit. After we praised him so much for never hearing his name, he got beat once very badly by Thibodeau, and then got a penalty a little bit later, getting downfield a little early on the screen pass. And we at least got to hear how his name was pronounced. But I will say, he's not him and their makeshift line, because they're very injured on the line as well. I mean, they're missing both tackles, and then both guards got hurt in this game, and they were able to protect Geno. They gave up the two sacks to Thibodeau, but that's it. So that's the tale of two teams there. One, both teams with makeshift lines. Seattle was able to do enough to keep Geno upright for the most part, and the Giants just weren't. So that's something to think about. But yeah, Kurhan, he turned some heads for sure.
Keep an eye on him.
Keep an eye on him. Tackle eligible.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Well, the Dolphins obviously lost to the Bills after a big win the week before, putting up 70. But is anybody here not taking the Dolphins? And Giants upset anybody?
No. I'm going to take the Dolphins.
No, thanks.
All right. Moving on then.
Beat down.
Yep. I think so too. Even though that Dolphins defense does leave something to be desired.
Suffice to say, my smash of Colby Parkinson didn't come through this week. He had zero catches in that game. So I'm going to take an L on that one. But Khalil Herbert was good. And I think he got a smash. I think he was probably qualifies for a smash, right?
For running back, yeah.
Yeah, and Stafford probably not, but he had 300 and one touchdown, one pick. Probably not enough for a smash, but not terrible. So I'll take that. Jerry Jeudy, just pedestrian as usual. He didn't get me anything, and Parkinson was a complete zero.
You know, it's unseasonably warm up here right now where we're at. I don't like it. So you got to think down in Miami, it's going to be really hot.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it works. Giants aren't going to like that. Jones is going to be sweating. That ball is going to be slippery. Fumbles everywhere.
Yeah, the Giants are going to get just lambasted in that game.
I feel bad for them, honestly.
It's not pretty. They really overachieved last year, but it's all contingent on Saquon. And now Saquon's out. Even if he comes back, everybody knows it's all contingent on Saquon now. So the stuff they were getting last year, I don't think is going to work this year. So, yeah, the Giants just don't seem like they're going to end this season. This is going to be a rough season for them, long season.
All right, we're all taking the Dolphins there. Saints go up to Foxborough and visit Belichick and the Patriots after getting humbled in Dallas. Mac Jones and the frat boys there did not have a good performance.
Took a spanking.
Yes, they did.
They lined right up, fucking held their ankles for sure, and took a little spanking from the Cowboys.
Man, so they're going to elephant walk back home and play host to the Saints.
Saints look gross as well.
I don't really want to talk too much about this one.
The big PPR game from Kamara, 13 for catches. for 31 yards.
Wow.
I mean, Mark, that's right there is why I'm against PPR Matt Morehouse. I don't like that. I don't like that. That's why I like a non-PPR league. 13 catches.
Oh, come on.
Get you 16 points for that performance. Give me a fucking break. Go away, Kamara. That's a joke.
Oh, boy. Game. Patriots with a couple key injuries. Judon and a good rookie, Christian Gonzalez, their first round picker, out. In this one, Carr is back for the Saints, but he's a little bit hobbled still. It seems like, oh, this is a tough one, guys. Belichick at home, Saints out of the dome, just seems like they're out of there. I'm going to go ahead and take the Patriots again in this one, I think. Jerry, what do you think?
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take the Saints. Neither team's looked great, like you said. The Carr will have another week to rest that shoulder a little bit so he can throw it maybe further than 2 yards to Kamara. Maybe throw it to Olave once or twice. But yeah, I'll take them in another shit show.
Len?
Yeah, this could have easily been on Thursday night, actually. This game, I'm going to try my best not to watch any of this game. Oh man, I hate this game a lot. I'm gonna go Saints because I picked them to win the AFC South, so I hope they get a win here. But this is gross. I think they probably should have went Jameis last week and gave Carr a week off with that shoulder. The one play I remember seeing on Red Zone from this game was a deep ball to Olave, and it was a nice throw and he was open, but just a great play by Winfield broke it up at the last second. And that's pretty much the only play I remember seeing from that game. But, I'll take the Saints. Just no reason, really. I hate these teams, too.
Yeah, that's a rough one. All right, this next game is going to be a rough one, too. The Ravens come into Pittsburgh. Mm. And hopefully the last time we see a certain offensive coordinator. This one's going to be rough. Kenny Pickett hobbled, no doubt, if he does play. If he doesn't play, well, we get... What's CM Nick call him? Maserati Mitch or Mason Rudolph will be under center for the Steelers. Probably Mitch, I would say, at this point. Kenny's in one of those positions where he's not injured enough to stay out, but I don't know if he's going to play in this game at all. Tomlin hinted at some big changes coming after the game. Well, guess what? New depth chart out today, guys, and a couple changes there.
Huh.
Gunnar Olszewski, who was injured last week, down on the depth chart.
Oh.
Just some clerical maneuvers there for the Steelers. Nothing significant if it happens.
What's Freiermuth's status? Is he good to go?
He's out several weeks.
Out several weeks.
Yeah.
So we get to see some Washington maybe in there finally?
He's hobbled as well, so I'm not sure.
So who are we going to see? Who else is it? Vance McDonald?
Connor Hayward, perhaps.
Connor Hayward, okay.
Yeah. I think Washington will play. I'm not sure where Zach Gentry went, but if he's still on the streets, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back. Not looking good. Maybe they'll pick up one Michael Jacobson off someone's practice squad.
That's right.
But, I mean, you never know.
That could use him.
Yeah, they could use him at this point. Yeah, Freiermuth is down for 2 to 3 weeks, I think they said. Washington has a knee injury as well. So I'm not quite sure what they're going to do to tight end position. But guess what? It doesn't matter because they're a fucking train wreck right now. Baltimore is going to beat them good. Do either of you guys disagree?
I do. And the only reason being is this is just classic Steelers bullshit right here. I mean, this is a game where the Steelers, everything, they look terrible. Everybody's in woe is me mode. 100%. They couldn't possibly beat anyone at all. This team's going to lose every game the rest of the year. Canada's a joke. They're going to pick it's done and blah, blah, blah. This is classic Yenzer shit. So, my money's on my man. My man, Mitch Berg's going to get the start this week. Mm-hmm. They're going to sit Pickens with the bye week. Mitch starts. Mitch wins in an ugly fucking shit show where Lamar gets hurt in the second quarter or something and on a strip sack by Watt. Touchdown defense. Mitch hits fucking Terrell Austin for like a 48-yard touchdown. And the next thing you know, it's Steelers 17, Ravens 16. And everyone's like, oh, actually, the Steelers aren't that bad. I'm taking Steelers.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good analysis, I'll say, Len, but very optimistic. Jerry, what do you think?
That almost swayed me away from my original pick, but I'll just stick with my gut here. I think the Ravens are going to take it. Steelers might have one of the worst offenses in the league. I mean, we talk about a stairway. This is like an elevator straight to the basement.
This is a fucking
Matt Canada on these plays.
Yeah, this is like a rope ladder trying to get up. Fucking, they can't even pull themselves up. That's disgusting. It's a disgusting team.
That rope's on fire. Matt Canada at the bottom, lightning match.
It's one of those ladders you keep under your bed for when the house catches on fire. You got to bring it out and throw it out the window.
Couple bed sheets tied together with knots in it.
This isn't a Pennsylvania state prison, Len. You just don't do that. So they do have a pretty good number on Lamar.
I will say also, Naj, he found a pair of stretch jeans this week. Had a little bit of mobility, man. Big 5 yards of carry average there, 70 yards rushing, and all of a sudden... Maybe he got a new fresh pair because he looked pretty good. And
Najee's was running. He was running with some conviction. He did have a nice little catch and run where he stayed up. Just looked Marshawn-esque, I might say. One of his mentors there. The offensive line is banged up. Their right tackle's out. That means they're gonna have to be forced to play their high first number round draft pick.
I mean. Good God forbid. God forbid you get that guy in there. I mean, they've been so good. Why would you put him in there?
Yeah, it's a shit show there. But like I said, they do have Lamar's number. Historically, this does have the makings of, 13-6, 11-9 type game.
This has the Steelers win written all over it. I mean, it just does. I don't know why, and I don't know how. It's hard to explain what's going to happen. But it just is going to happen somehow. I think there's going to be a defensive touchdown. As I said, Lamar will probably get hurt and miss like the second half. Just something random stuff will happen.
I mean, it's not a bad prediction. I won't be surprised if we're sitting here next week talking about exactly that. I believe the cause for concern is legitimate in Pittsburgh. It's, the defense carried him to a couple wins, I would say. And, they can't do that all year long.
The offense is putrid. I mean, the play calling and, the creativity is at an all-time low. Yeah. As we said, we were texting about it. I mean, in Canada's tenure, every team in the league has had 400 yards total offense a minimum of four times, and they've had it zero times. It's almost unbelievable. I mean, because while their offense isn't great, it shouldn't be that bad.
I think they've only scored three touchdowns a couple times since just the inability to score 20 points.
Right.
And your defense can only be so good in today's NFL. You have to be able to score
just
points.
Just embarrassed by the Texans. Plus, I mean, really.
Let's be honest. I mean, in football, maybe not so much, but sometimes your best defense is a good offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you just, it's not the 70s anymore. You can't.
No,
just get
your offense has to be able to extend drives and make plays to keep your defense at least off the field here and there. And it's just the defense is always out there. No matter how good it is, you can't have a motor, you can't have a motor constantly when you literally never get off the field. There's never a drive extended. Yeah. I mean, it's just gross.
And when you're invisible like Watt was last game because they neutralized him, they scrambled his side a lot, and he wasn't a factor at all. And when he's not a factor, Highsmith isn't a factor, and you're in trouble. All right, so Len, I respect it. I can see where you're coming from, but Baltimore is going to beat the brakes off them.
I hope you're right, and I'm wrong. I do.
We need it. We need a good beating, quite honestly. Yeah. We see some real changes going into the bye week. All right, guys, the Bengals are hobbled, no doubt. The Cardinals are surprising. They stayed with the Niners. And Josh Dobbs, Len.
I mean,
all right. I mean,
they'd kill to have him in that quarterback right now.
They would. They would. They play host to the Bengals. This is a tough one, guys. This is a real interesting game. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cardinals. They're being coached well. There's some surprises across the roster. We thought these guys were going to be kind of a doormat. I think I might have even said they might be the worst team in the league before it started, but they're well coached, it seems like, and they're hanging in all these games. I'm going to take them at home. against the Bengals in a little bit of an upset. Jerry, what do you think?
It's a tough one. Like you said, Dobbs playing good. But if the Bengals can't find a way to win this game, it's the season's over. I just think the Bengals, I think Burrow's going to somehow find a way to get it done. Higgins is beat up too. I think it comes down to the last minute and they get a field goal for the win. Not a pretty game. None of their games have been pretty. Burrow has like one touchdown on the year, something crazy, a couple touchdowns. It's ugly.
Yeah. Len.
Yeah. I mean, Chase is frustrated. Higgins is hurt. Burrow's clearly not healthy. Honestly, I mean, this is silly to me that they haven't just given Burrow a few weeks and like just tried to weather the storm without him for a few weeks, because it's clear he's not himself. And their defense is not the same. They lost both starting safeties in the offseason. That's obviously showing up here. It's very hard to have any confidence in the Bengals winning any of these games. They've looked just inept, and I don't think the Cardinals are any good, but Dobbs has played well. Connor runs hard. I'm going to take the Cardinals. I mean, I don't like it, but I just don't know what Cincinnati has showed me nothing, minus the one half where they played decent football. And, that's about it the whole year offensively. Higgins had two touchdowns in one game. I don't know. Chase is getting very frustrated. I think Burrow needs to consider just sitting. Get Jake Browning in there. Let's give him a game or two. See what happens. It can't be really worse, honestly. I mean, it's been so gross. So I'm going to take Arizona. But you're right, Jerry. If the Bengals can't find a way to win this game, they're digging their own grave here.
It's going to be an interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm not confident in them at all. Mine's based solely on hope that somehow Burrow miraculously recovers and looks like his old self, and they just start lighting it up.
They've shown nothing, but you just have to assume something's going to happen at some point. But it is. I've been assuming that every week. I thought, the Bengals, they'll get healthy against the Titans. Titans pass defense, blah, blah, blah. They'll get healthy against them. They're fucking terrible in that game. Just terrible.
Yeah. Tell you what, they're flirting with disaster, too. We've kept saying that those calf injuries can lead to worse things, and they keep rolling him out. I don't know when their bye week is, Len. You mentioned
it earlier, I'm not sure either, yeah.
It couldn't come soon enough for them at this point. And you got to wonder, something bad might happen here to really – take a promising season for them, one they were all looking forward to, down the toilet real quick. It's going to be an interesting one there in Arizona. All right, this one is interesting too. Philadelphia undefeated, right?
Yeah.
And but they've had a few flaws in their game. They've looked beatable at times.
Mm-hmm.
They visit the Rams, who had the walk-off victory staving off the Colts last week. In L.A., I got to take the Eagles here until proven otherwise, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a really good game. Jerry, what do you think here? Birds at Rams.
Rams have been really surprising this year. A lot of young talent, Puka being one of the, setting records at wide receiver as a rookie. I still am going to take the Eagles. They just find a way to win each week, and I do agree, though. I think the Rams are going to hang with them, though, and keep it tight, but Philly wins in the end.
Glenn?
Yeah, Rams have played everyone tough, including beating my Seahawks week one. They've played everyone tough. I think they'll play them tough again, but I agree with you guys. The Eagles have found a way to win each week. I think they have too much offensive firepower. They'll win this game, too, somehow. But it'll be tough. It won't be an easy one.
Yeah, that find a way to win is a good way to put it. They just, every game it seems like they kind of do it a little bit different way. Defense, offense, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Swift, Hurts, brotherly shove.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What do you think, Len? Tush push or brotherly shove?
Well, I if you listened to the Funkhouse last week, that this was my soapbox derby here. And I am not a fan at all of this play. of either name. I hate the name. I mean, the Tush Push is one of the most the stupidest names I've ever heard. Patriots, when they use it with Mac Jones, they call it the butt stuff, I heard. And, you know, it's just that every team has a different little name for it. But I think when you really look at it, it should be an illegal play. I mean, for the majority of my football loving life, it was an illegal play. Then they decided to make it legal. Yeah. It's a strange play. The offense can push their running back, quarterback, whatever, as far as they want forward. But if you're a defensive player and you're pushing the guy backwards and you just do it 1 second too long, it's a 15-yard penalty. It's very unfair to the defensive side of the ball. Don't like it at all. I mean, brotherly shove, I give credit, that's a better name for sure. I mean, for the Eagles, that's a much better name than Tush Push. The Tush Push is a terrible name, obviously. Tush is probably the worst name for an ass that there is, I think. I hate Tush, so I'm against that all the way. I would go brotherly shove if I had to pick one.
How about the rear spear or something like that? I mean, we can think of some good ones here.
The butt jut. You can do a lot. You can do a lot of stuff. The ass pass.
The cheek sneak.
The cheek sneak's a good one, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I heard that, the brotherly shove. Yeah. I was like, okay.
That's a good one. That's still kind of
annoying. Still kind of annoying, but.
It's far more creative.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's going to be t-shirts and
films. Oh, there's definitely t-shirts. If you went to Lincoln Financial, before you got inside Lincoln Financial, there are so many bootleg brotherly shove t-shirts out there you could buy. Just like the bootleg Stairway to Seven t-shirts you can find down in the fucking strip district or whatever. It's the same thing. There's definitely bootleg brotherly shove shirts just flying off the shelf.
Sure, they're all very classy and tasteful.
Yes, exactly. Of course, great.
All right, here, guys. Jerry, we alluded to it earlier. Coz got off the schneid with a big victory against the Bears while they play host to Zach Wilson and the Jets, who hung in there, guys. Zach Wilson, I mean, they played the Chiefs tough.
They should have won that game. Could have won that game quite easily.
Wilson looked decent, I'll say. Is he finally coming around? Is this a mirage?
Wilson shooting his shot at Kelsey's mom, I think, is probably why he was playing so well there. He knew Kelsey's mom was in the stands and seeing if he could get with another MILF, you know, and see what's happening. He just wanted to upstage Travis and get after his mom, but he played well. Questionable holding call and Sauce late really cost them that game, probably. But as usual, the Chiefs get all those breaks. They always do. And any team that is the darling always gets those calls. And, you know, whatever. The Jets suck anyway, so I don't care that they lost. The real key moment of the season for the Broncos season's brand new now, because when Sean Payton cut those sleeves off on the sideline, really turned that whole game around, and I think really probably won that locker room over. So the Broncos, Russ gets the big win, come from behind. Broncos are back, maybe in business. I don't know. What do you think, Jerry?
I'm going to go ahead and take the Jets to bring the Broncos right back down to earth. They got a great defense, and they're pissed from those referees last week that the holding call, and then there was a missed holding call on the Mahomes big run towards the end of the game where he got a first down. The replays are pretty bad there, but yeah, I think us three could go out and score a touchdown against the Broncos defense right now. So I have zero confidence in them. I think the Jets, even if Zach Wilson doesn't play like he did last, you know, the other night, which was one of his best performances, I still think the Jets will find a way to score, and their defense is going to hold Russ back enough that they'll be able to edge it out. So I'm going to take the Jets.
I'm going to take the Broncos here. Now, where'd Zach Wilson play college ball? At BYU?
Mm-hmm, BYU.
It's pretty high up there, isn't it? Elevation-wise. Yeah. So he might be used to it. Now that I say that. I was going to go with the elevation here big time. Peyton's going to have a fresh bounty out on this one, I think, for Wilson, though. I'm going to take the Broncos in this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Nate Hackett Bowl, obviously. I mean, Peyton just disrespected the hell out of Hackett in the offseason. Hackett probably had his best game as a Jets play caller here this past week. Wilson did throw the ball well. He played well. I mean, yes, and there was some drops in there, honestly. Could have had even a better game, in my opinion. Played pretty well. The Broncos have shown me no reason at all to pick them here, but I'm gonna pick the Broncos. I don't know why. I don't like either. I think the Jets stink too. I mean, they played their asses off against the Chiefs, but I don't think they're that good, and I don't think their defense is that good, to be honest. Even though it's played okay, like Sauce has got beat a few times this year on big plays, just, you know, sleeping or just gambling and things like that, and I just think Wilson will probably play bad. Both Wilsons will probably play bad, to be completely honest. But I'm going to take I'll stick with my boy Russ. I'm going to take the Broncos.
All right. Well, it's going to be an interesting one. I could see it going either way there. I'm gonna, Broncos home field advantage.
Yeah.
I'll take it. All right. Chiefs, guys, Deborah Norville, Says, Kelsey, and Swift are an item, boyfriend, girlfriend, right out of her mouth. Len says otherwise.
People Magazine says absolutely not. Just getting to know each other, not a romantic relationship at this point. They have not defined their relationship yet as anything more than friends and just getting to know one another. So Mike has his sources, Deborah Norville. I'll go with People Magazine. I like their sources. So I'm gonna stick with, and they also confirm my personal source, my personal opinion, that this was not a relationship at this point yet. I think based on my Taylor Swift knowledge, and her whole early career particularly being defined by her relationships and songs related to those relationships and how she's grown as a human being since that point, I don't think she would jump into a relationship like this with someone and then have everyone just waiting for them to break up. And she's, you know, I just think she has a little more respect for people in that point, and she understands what happens with her relationships now, where she wouldn't put Kelsey in that position, particularly after spending the whole day with his mom after the first like kind of interaction. I think she just wants to take it slow. Not saying it's not going to be a relationship. It might be. Now, a lot will tell here. Who are they playing this week?
The Vikings.
We're at Minnesota.
Yep.
Now, if Taylor's in Minnesota this Sunday, you know, the things are starting to probably lean the other way, because why the fuck would she go to Minnesota?
Well,
I mean, New York City. She lives in New York City. She had her whole crew with her. You know, Blake Lively was there. Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds, Sabrina Carpenter, former Penn State basketball player Ross Travis was in the booth. I just don't think it's a relationship yet. But if she shows up in Minnesota, it's a little bit more. I'll start leaning the other way. I don't think she'll be there this week.
When you have the chance to go to the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, Len, you take it.
Yeah. I don't know. Has she sold out? She probably sold out the Metrodome already. I mean, she's, you know, whatever she shows up, she sells out. She probably packed her Metrodome. There's probably people on that hefty bag, to be honest.
She probably blew the hefty bag right off that place.
Exactly. So whatever the question is, I'm going Chiefs in this game.
I'm going Chiefs too, Jerry.
Chiefs.
Vikings, they barely got by the Panthers.
Yeah.
I think Kirk threw for 139 or something. That was a weird game. But they got the win, so at least they're off the schneid there. But Chiefs all the way.
Yep. All right. Sunday night football game, a classic NFC rivalry from back in the day. These two teams were always the talk of the town, the Cowboys and the Niners. Cowboys going into Candlestick here.
Two of the best teams this year, too, so this is interesting.
Levi Stadium, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Levi, of course, notorious for jeans.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey is not wearing jeans, guys. Not at all.
McCaffrey's actually never wore a pair of jeans. That's been confirmed. He's never wore jeans in his life. That also could be why he hurts his legs a lot, because he never wears the jeans. Jeans protect your knees pretty well.
They do. They're good work wear. Yeah. You know? I got to take the Niners in this one, guys. The Cowboys defense has shown up. Bland stepped into the Trayvon Diggs role pretty well. I think he had a pick six last week. Cowboys defense, I think
Micah got hurt a little bit here in this week's game, right? Micah Parsons got hurt. Is he going to play this week?
He's always kind of banged up. I'm sure he'll play, though, right? I'm not sure of his status.
But I did notice he left. I don't think he returned, but it was a blowout, too.
So. Cowboys offense, honestly, though, is just not inspiring. I'm not sure they can keep up with the Niners here. Jerry, who are you taking in this one Sunday night?
I'm going to take San Fran as well. I think it'll be a good game. I love this matchup. Classic, like you said. McCaffrey can't be stopped, really. He's leading all running backs and coming off the monster game. Of course, that was against Arizona, but it doesn't matter who he's playing. Purdy looks really good. Debo, I think, is banged up still. But Ayuk's looked fantastic out there, and their defense is stellar. Yeah, I just don't think Dak and the boys will be able to keep up with them. Especially going against that San Fran defense.
Yeah, this game looks better on paper than I think it will be. Dallas away from home, I'm just not seeing. I think San Francisco is a class or two above.
This is the big boys here, though. I don't know. You know, I actually think this is a tougher game than you guys think it is, I think. I think Dallas, now, again, this is really contingent on Parsons being 100%. But I still do like San Francisco to win this game, but I think it's going to take a real Herculean effort by the Niners to win this game. I think this is going to be a last possession game, but I trust the Niners offense and defense just slightly more than the Cowboys, so I'll take the Niners here in a close one.
I don't know. I think the Niners are going to run away with this one, honestly. Cowboys, what are they, 3-1?
Mm-hmm. 3-1 versus 4-0. Yeah. The Cowboys laid the one egg there against Arizona, but that's Cowboys' kind of thing to do. Other than that, though, they've looked pretty good. And, it's just an interesting game.
It is.
So when the teams get this deep and they start to get undefeated, you got to start to see where they're going to lose a game. And this is a game they could lose. Now, if this is in Dallas, I would take the Cowboys. But since it is in the Big Gene, I'm going to probably just take the Niners, I think.
A lot of classic footage will be played. This one, your Charles Haley, your Ken Norton Jr., your Jim Jeffcoat.
Yeah, little Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott, Deion Sanders.
Too Tall Jones.
Oh, man. Lots of classic footage will be shown.
Catch, Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone against the Cowboys. One of the greatest plays in NFL history.
Yep. Oh, this was always a classic match. These were the teams in the NFC back in the day, man. I tell you,
Coach Prime, he traded between these two teams. He did. Won a title for both of them. Mm-hmm. Everything coming together here in 2023 for Coach Prime.
Yep. All right, Monday night, guys. Whew, might want to skip this one. Packers.
This is a game I'd put on the Manning cast if I was watching this game. I don't need the main broadcast for this one.
Packers at Raiders. Yeah. I'm not sure of Jimmy G's status. He's still banged up. I don't know if he's on track to play for this one at all. You guys know Jimmy G?
He had a concussion. I think it's concussions almost like an automatic 1 week at least. Didn't seem like a severe one.
Yeah.
So I would guess he'll be back this week, although – we may see the new AOC, Aiden O'Connell, out there guiding the left-wing offense of the Raiders against Green Bay. We'll see. I think the Packers, again, were kind of my little upset darling this year. So I'm going to take Green Bay here on the road, regardless if he plays quarterback. Although they did not inspire a lot of confidence last Thursday. So let's hope that was just a gross hiccup. But I'll take the Packers and the Raiders. I mean, what is there to say about McDaniel and this team and how they build it? They have the players they've drafted in the last few years have been just a terrible draft record ever since your boy Mayock got the GM job there. When I laughed at that, it was a laughing stock hire, and it's just reverberated all through this team. Adams got hurt at the end of the game. Devontae, is he going to play? If he's not going to play, you might as well just fucking pack this team up and for the year. Let's go into tank mode.
He's playing.
Is he playing?
How about that?
Yeah, he ended up coming back in that game later.
Okay.
It didn't matter. He shouldn't be back, but
How about that ridiculous late hit on Herbert?
Tillery last week?
That was ridiculous. Jesus. Man.
The whole team just surrounded him instantly.
Yeah, classic Raiders there. McDaniel's a fraud outside of Tom Brady.
McDaniel's, when he came over there, they started out like 4-0, and then they got caught cheating or whatever. And since then, his record is horrendous. The Raiders, the only team they beat this year is the Broncos, and they beat them by 1 point in week one. A lot to be left desired there. It is a revenge game for Devontae, so I think he has a big game.
Ooh.
But Packers are going to win, I think.
This is going to be – I'm taking the Packers in this one. They showed a little bit of life at the end of that game last week. Good call in the revenge game narrative for Devontae there, Jerry. But we'll see. Quarterback situation up in the air. Packers, yeah, their line doesn't look very good. But, again, Love and team tried to push back after some adversity after a terrible first half.
Yeah.
Last week it was real rough. I'm going to take the Packers on the road here. They're going to fill that stadium, too, with lots of Packers fans. Well, that brings us to the end of the Week 5 slate there, guys. Jerry, any final thoughts? Anything we should look out for in fantasy here in Week 5? Or any Funkhouse previews you want to give us here?
It's another big week for waivers, so pay attention to that. Don't panic if you're down at the bottom of the standings or you had a bad start. Plenty of season left. It was on, and it's just the first chunk we just finished. We take it in chunks, so you can throw that one out, forget about it, and start afresh next week.
I heard rumors of a very special guest on the Funkhouse, continuing a nice streak of guest stars on that show. You know who that is, Jerry?
I can't give any of that info away this time. It's very top secret. Very requested, we'll say that.
Guess you just have to tune in and find out.
I'm excited. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to see who it is. I'm going to tune in.
I heard it might be Deborah Norville.
Well, that would be a big get. That would be a big get if you get Norville. Annual salary, $4 million for Norville.
$2 million.
She's not cheap.
She has a net worth of $18 million. She's been making, it's presumably a good salary there at Inside Edition for upwards of 20 years. I think she should have more than
almost
18.
30.
Yeah. So I think she should have a little bit more bank than $18 million. That lends me to wonder what she's doing in her spare time. But she's a well-respected journalist for sure. She's broken some big stories there on Inside Edition. I have a lot of respect for Deborah Norville and everything she's accomplished.
Well, you should trust her when she breaks the news of Taylor and Travis.
But I can't go with her on this particular story. But again, keep your eyes on the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. If you see Taylor up there in the baggie, you'll know that maybe Norville was right. Maybe she had it all along.
Norville's got the scoop, no doubt. Len, any final thoughts this week?
No, man. I don't have any thoughts. Seattle has a bye. It's nice going into the bye 3-1. I'm excited about that. And still not Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams, big return. Big return for Jamal Adams after about 400 days. He played 9 plays, so he over doubled what Rodgers played this year, and then got knocked unconscious, loopy, tried to stay in that game.
Bullied that independent concussion spot.
Yeah, he was concussed, clearly, and for his own health, I'm glad they got him out of there. I would expect not to see him for a couple weeks, would be my guess. They have a bye this week. Maybe he'll be back the week after, but that looked like a severe concussion, so let's hope he gets his head on straight, literally and figuratively.
All right, boys, it was nice talking to you. That's week 5. We'll be back for week 6. Jerry, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out Jerry and Maddie on the Funkhouse later this week with their special guest, Deborah Norville. All right, everybody. For Len, for Jerry, this is Mr. Just Right. We'll see you in week 6. Champs are out.
Peace. Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power.